This message is on the power of prayer that comes through meditation. Pastor also explains the different realms and dimensions of godly meditation.
I want you to open your Bibles to let me look at which scripture that was. Psalm 104. Open your Bibles to Psalms 104. And verse 34.
My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord.
My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Tonight I want to preach to you about an aspect of prayer which I have never preached before. And that is on the power of meditation. And I'm not speaking about sitting in some mountain with your eyes closed, chanting something. No, that's not what I'm speaking about. There's a lot of forbidden wisdom, a lot of practices that are not scriptural, that are not biblical, certain Middle Eastern spiritual practices, transcendental meditation, certain kind of meditations which many in our country practice, which are not biblical. It's not a question of you emptying your mind. As a matter of fact, biblical meditation is all about your mind being first filled. It's not emptying your mind. It's your mind first being filled and then you doing the meditation. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in you. You know, when I was young, I was forced to read books like Power of Positive Thinking. There are a lot of books that are good, that are nice. But some of them which are not necessarily a Christian practice. So I want to preach to you from God's Word on the power of prayer that comes through meditation. In the book of Genesis chapter 11, you know, when Babel, the Tower of Babel was built, from that word, the word Babylon comes. That is essentially Babylon or rebellion or the same thing. You know, they rebelled against God and they built a tower unto God. And God came, confused their language, and God said, you know, whatever man imagines he's able to do. Whatever they imagine to do, they can do it. So even fallen man, even man who is independent of God, who is rebelling against God, understands there is power in meditation. Even they meditate. So you can never underestimate the power of gospel meditation. So to put things in the proper perspective before we go into the depths of God's word tonight. I hope you're hearing. You got your heart open. Your eyes are, your ears are open. Amen. As a foundation, you know, you have to realize and you have to keep this in the back of your mind. It's like a mental note that you have to take. Nobody in this world is stronger than you in your realm. No devil, no man is stronger than you in your realm. Not even God. Because Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 says, God said, I will not strive with man forever. God is saying, listen, I can't come in and strive with, keep striving with him. He's got his own will. I've given him that. I'm not going to mess up with that. Nobody's forced to be born again. Nobody's forced to pray. God says, I cannot do it. I cannot strive with man forever. And God respects that. God honors that. Man can resist God. Can you imagine that God has given you that free will where you can resist him? To your own damage, there are consequences for it. Finally, you die. But you can do it. Don't try it. Even God won't force himself on man. So much so, you have to realize that not even the devil can himself impose himself on you. If you have this as a mental note in your heart or in your mind, then there are possibilities that are there from God's word, from God's grace, from the anointing of God that can take you to be something that you never thought possible you could be. God didn't create a robot. God created you. God didn't tune you up like a robot and says, okay, love, 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 Jesus, Jesus, praise Jesus, thank you, Jesus. God didn't do that. As a matter of fact, unless other than through your ignorance, the devil has no right to afflict you, possess you, torment you, or take control over your life. Once you understand God's word that through Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, Jesus redeemed you by his blood, you are born again because Christ Jesus dwells in your heart, the devil has got no legal right or authority over you. If you are grateful to God for this amazing grace and blessing, lift your hand, lift your voice and give a shout to Jesus tonight. Say, thank you, Jesus. So hell cannot destroy your life unless you permit it. Unless you permit it. So God has given us a mind. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, it says there something amazing. As a matter of fact, I was so thrilled reading this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome and saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So with your mind, with the faculty of your mind, either you can serve the living God or you can even serve the devil. It's your choice. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, by faith we understand the worlds that we see were framed by the word of God. So there are worlds. Just not one world, there are worlds. A madman is in his own world. You will find him sometimes standing and speaking, and you'll say, who is he speaking to? He's seeing somebody. He's in a world of his own. You think it is nonsense, but he is seeing something. So you can open up your mind to different worlds. And we look at him and say, he's lost his mind. No, he's gone to another world in his mind. As a matter of fact, sitting here listening to the sermon, your mind can be elsewhere. It could be traveling through Japan, through China, through Russia. I mean, it could be, you know, wherever. Your mind can go places. That's the reality. So God has got, through his word and through his principles, designed your mind in such a way that it should function, that will bring God glory. So in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, we know the scripture, most of us by heart, as a man thinketh, so is he. Not he will become. As a man thinketh, so is he. As you're thinking now, that's who you are. Your thought is who you are. So whatever you decide to walk in, that's how you should think. It is said that even, you know, somebody with a stage 4 cancer, if he doesn't even know, sometimes he just goes on. But the moment he realizes he's sick, suddenly all the symptoms are showing. Have you seen that? You had a problem, maybe. I do not know how many of you experienced this. You never had a problem. You went for a routine checkup and they take an MRI or a CT or whatever. Just routine checkup. I mean, you just want to get your insurance done and then medical insurance done. And then you go through this and suddenly they say, you got a problem here. You got a problem there. You got a problem here. And suddenly you come out from that hospital and you feel like, huh. Even when before you went in, you had that problem. You had 2 gulab jamuns, a lassi, and you didn't feel any sugar on you. But suddenly the report says, you're highly diabetic. And these are, then you Google it, and then suddenly all it does, your mind, this is how it is going to be. This is, and suddenly you have all the symptoms. So if you have to become it, you have to first become it in your mind if you want to be healthy. As a matter of fact, Hebrew biblical language, that is the way the Bible is written, not now they have, but in the Hebrew biblical language, the language doesn't have a future tense. So there is never a question of saying, I will be rich tomorrow. I will be. It is, I am rich. Not I will be rich, I am rich. That's how it is. There's no physical evidence to say you're rich, but I am rich. That's what the Hebrew language is. Or in Romans chapter 4 verse 17, very interesting. We know these scriptures, but tonight I pray the Holy Spirit shifts you into something that is so powerful. It'll change your life, transform your life. It will take you to a level that you've never walked in before. If you believe that tonight, say amen. Amen. Romans 4:17 says, it says, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Not how they will be, but as though they were. He calls things as if they were. So it's not like, look at, let's take it step by step. So in the light of Christian meditation, how you go about it is in Psalms 49 verse 3. And that this is needed, because once you realize the power of what God's word says, you will want to do this in your prayer time and through your life. It's a lifestyle. Psalms 49 verse 3.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding.
And the meditation of my heart shall be with understanding. See, you meditate, Christian meditation is with understanding. You understand it from God's word. From the truth of God's word. When Paul wrote to the church, or to Timothy his son, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15, first letter of Timothy chapter 4 verse 15.
Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. That thy profiting might appear to all.
See, Paul is writing in the New Testament to Timothy, his son, and saying, meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them. Why? If you do that, your profiting will be evident to all. Something happens inside of you. You are meditating on God's word. You understand God's word. You are walking in the light of it. You are meditating on it. And your prophet is seen by all. It cannot be hidden. Something makes that man different from others. He catches the eye of everyone. Some of you are going to step into this grace in the name of Jesus tonight. That your profiting might be evident to all. You don't have to hide it. Everybody knows. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 48 verse 17, it says there, I will teach you the way to profit. I will teach you the way that you should profit. One of the ways that you profit is through meditation of God's word. Isn't that right? Yes, read it.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Yes, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer saith.
I am the Lord thy God.
I am the Lord thy God.
Which teacheth thee to profit.
Which teacheth thee to profit. See, God teaches you to profit. And one of the ways is through meditation. Paul said to Timothy, listen, your progress, your profiting, it will be evident to everyone around you. Your calling cannot be hidden. Your success cannot be hidden. Your blessing cannot be hidden. They might not like it. People might be upset with it. People might be envious of it. But they will know, hey, this guy is blessed of God. He's profiting. Glory to God. He is not who you used to be. And the simple key to step into that is the meditation of God's word. Lift your hand and say, God, the grace to meditate on your word. In other words, you can't run away from your own success. So how does this apply? How does this work? So imagine you're suffering with a sickness. You can meditate on your sickness. You can look through Google. You can meditate on it. You can check through everything that is to speak about the sickness. You can read about it, study about it, think about it, ponder over it, get miserable again, read on it, talk with friends, call up neighbors, take third opinion, fourth opinion, sixth opinion, seventh opinion, again, read on it. You're meditating, but you're meditating on sickness. Or you can meditate when somebody says you got a problem. You meditate on health. You meditate on the reality of health. As a matter of fact, look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. We know that scripture, but look how the Holy Spirit has written there. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. It says, by his stripes,
who is
you were healed. Not you will be healed. By his stripes, you were healed. See, your healing came first before your sickness. So you have to first become it in your mind. That's how you step into healing. You have to realize from God's word, by his stripes, I was healed. Yay. You have to convince yourself from God's word. You're convinced by God's word to such an extent that you are persuaded. This is the reality. The grace of persuasion. You are fully convinced that this is it. This is it. It's not somebody sweet talking you. It's not power of just positive thinking. It's, hey, God's word. Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, that is so. So either you can meditate on your sickness or you can meditate on your health. You're supposed to meditate on your health. Or one day I'll be rich. Actually, prosperity begins in the mind. It's not when money comes into your life. And that's only one dimension of prosperity. I've spoken to you about spiritual prosperity, all that, but I'm speaking about just not spiritual riches. Even practically, you need finances. Okay. You have to, you know, you have to keep your spirit active. In Matthew 13 verse 25 says, well, men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. Many people put their spirit to sleep, or they wake up the spirit, or are thinking about the spirit only in church. They switch off their spirit the moment they finish their personal prayer, or they pause it. And that's when the enemy puts in all kind of wrong stuff into you. But you, as a born again child of God, you got to make sure that your spirit is active. There are certain doors that you can open that can shut up your spirit. Drugs is one of them. I've been there. Stay away from that. You got to keep your spirit awake even in the night. As a matter of fact, your spirit doesn't sleep. You know, neuroscientists say that even when you sleep, your subconscious mind is still can hear. It can still process sounds. That is why, you know, you need to apply this. You need to put a sermon or a worship song even while you're sleeping. The last 10 minutes before you sleep and the first 10 minutes when you get up are the most important part of your life. Before you sleep, if you're just on the net, on the phone, chatting and all, you go to sleep, you know, you have actually kind of paused your spirit. You know, one of the scriptures that I usually meditate is when I begin, before I go to sleep, is Proverbs 3:24. My sleep shall be sweet. Or Proverbs, Psalm 16 verse 7. Even in the night watches, the Lord instructs me in my spirit. Even in the night watches, my spirit is instructed. And I've taught you that before. The moment you get up in the morning, if you can just pause for a second and say, Lord, what were you speaking to me through the night? What you have to do, what God was saying to you, will come immediately come into your heart. Take a piece of paper, pen, write it. Step out of that bed before you brush your teeth. Speaking in tongues, give glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Start your day, then go in, brush your teeth, take a bath, and whatever you have to do, then go into your personal prayer. As a matter of fact, your subconscious mind, even when you're sleeping, it is said, controls your vital organs like heart and your digestive system. For some of you, your digestive system is overworking. You just had such a heavy dinner. Job 38 verse 12. Job chapter 38 verse 12. Tonight this is a little different from the way that I normally preach the word, but tonight this is, I'm opening up a realm to you that you've never walked into. And if you can grasp it, Job 38 verse 12.
Hast thou commanded the morning since
thy days?
Since thy days, and cause the day spring to know his place.
See, God is saying, have you commanded the morning? No, I have. And I want to tell you what I've commanded. So important, the morning and the night, that you... So what do you meditate on? Because your meditation, what you think, one day will be judged. So what do you meditate on? Philippians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. Glory to God. A lot of scriptures.
Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever things that are true.
Whatsoever things are honest.
That are honest.
Whatsoever things are just.
Are just.
Whatsoever things are pure.
Pure.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Are lovely.
Whatsoever things are of good report.
Of good report.
If there be
so
any.
So don't meditate on a bad report. Whatever things are of a good report.
If there be any virtue.
If there be any virtue.
And if there be any praise.
And if there be any praise.
Think on these things.
Think or meditate upon these things. And then Paul goes on to say one more thing. The ninth verse.
Those things which you have both learned and
both
received.
Those things that you have learned.
And received.
And received.
And heard.
And heard.
And seen in me.
And seen in me.
Do.
Do.
And the God of peace shall be with you.
And the God of peace shall be with you. See, God is saying, you meditate, I shall be with you. Glory to God. Luke 21, verse 14 and 15. A lot of scriptures. What do you meditate upon? It says there, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. When you're standing before, you can read the preceding verses. When you're standing on trial, persecuted, standing before the enemies who are gonna kill you, meditate not before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So don't meditate on how you have to answer the devil. We don't meditate on how to answer on people who hate us. If that joker comes to me again with this, how do I handle this? And you're thinking on that, meditating on that for 10 years and the joker never comes up. Are you with me? If this happens, then what do I do? You're not meditating on that. It saps your energy, takes away your life. God says, don't worry about that. When you stand before them, I will give you such wisdom, such grace, such anointing. Don't waste your time by meditating on how you should answer people who trouble you and who hate you and don't like you. Don't meditate on the negative. So what do you meditate on? Three levels of meditation, or three realms of meditation. The first realm, you meditate on the realm of precepts. Psalm 119, 97, 98, 99 and 100. Psalms 119, 97, 98, 99, 100. Yes, please.
Oh, how I love thy law.
How I love thy law.
It is my meditation all the day.
It is my meditation all the day.
Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies.
Yes. See? The realm of precepts, you're meditating on how I love thy law. It's a command or a principle from God. How I meditate on that. Oh, I love it. And when you do that, look at the benefits of that. It says there,
thou Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies.
You have made me wiser than my enemies. You're not meditating on how to, you're meditating on God's command, on God's word, on His precept. God, you're wiser than your enemies. Read on.
I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation.
See, you are not higher than your teachers, but you have an understanding. That is, you see beyond. The pastor is giving you, teaching you something from God's word, and you're getting there. And because you meditate in God's word, He shows you some things even more deeper there. See, your spirit has to be quiet. You have to learn to quieten your heart, your spirit. If your spirit is loud, if your spirit is like a, what do you say, a supersonic train. Are there supersonic trains? No. Supersonic planes. So what is that fastest train? Bullet trains or... speed trains or whatever, you know, if your mind is racing with 100 million things, you can't even listen to a teaching. You can't even sit under sound teaching if your mind is always racing with 100 things. The foundation for revelation is when your spirit is quiet and you're meditating on the word of the Lord. And God's word says, I will give you wisdom above your enemies, understanding way beyond your teachers. In other words, you know, there's a physical age that you have and there's a spiritual age. I've seen 20-year-olds having such spiritual maturity and clarity that the spiritual age would be 70, 80 years old. And I've seen 70, 80 years old people physically having no spiritual maturity, having no spiritual perception, not able to understand spiritual things at all, no maturity, that their spiritual age is maybe 20 years old. So your physical age is not a sign of wisdom. So the first realm is the realm where you're meditating on God's precepts and God's word, on what God is, what God's command, Lord, what is it? That's prayer. Let the meditation of my heart be sweet to you, Lord. Then there's a second realm of meditation, which is verse 99 says that in Psalm 119. I meditate on thy testimonies. Yes?
I have more understanding than all my teachers. Yes. For thy testimonies are my meditation.
For thy testimonies
are my meditation.
For thy testimonies are my meditation, which means actually spiritual experiences. My testimonies are the experience that I have spiritually. All of us have had our spiritual experiences in one way or the other. Some of you have recognized it very clearly, some of you have not. You need to learn to know how to meditate on the experiences that you had. New Testament, Acts chapter 10, verses 9. Peter goes up into the house top to pray. God shows, he's in a trance. God shows him a vision. He sees a cloth being coming down from heaven, all kind of animals inside there. He says, it's unclean, unclean. God shows him that vision 3 times. And he says, it's unclean, unclean. And the 19th verse says, Acts 10:19.
While Peter thought on the vision,
after seeing that vision, Peter took time to meditate, to think. Well, Peter thought about that vision. He had an experience. While he thought about the vision that he had seen, meditated on that, three people came knocking, said, "Come." Some people have visions, they have dreams. And as a matter of fact, you know, I had a vision that was coming consistently for about a month. And I didn't take time to meditate, to ponder and to think, "Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying?" I didn't take that time. And I paid a huge price. Huge price. And I was very discouraged. I said, "Lord, you hid this from me." And God said to me, "I didn't hide that from you. I tried telling you that I showed you in a vision. You wrote it down. But then you didn't ask me. You didn't meditate. Think about it." See, the moment God gives you a vision and you don't value it or meditate on that, you're suppressing and frustrating the Holy Spirit of God. You can actually do that. God was wanting to intervene. God was wanting to do something. And you don't meditate on it. You can bury what God showed you. Or you can say, "I don't remember it. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know what." And you think only what you remember is from God. You're wrong. You think only what you remember is the will of God? No. From scriptures, Daniel, God showed him a dream, a vision of what was going to come or happen to his kingdom. And the Bible says he forgot it. He didn't remember that dream or that vision at all. Imagine what God is showing him, what's going to happen to his kingdom. He didn't remember it at all. Until Daniel, the man of God, came and he said, "You don't have to remember the dream or the vision. I will ask my God. I will both get the vision and the dream that you had and the interpretation of it." There is a grace that is coming upon the church to step into another level of interpreting dreams and visions, of being a solution. Glory to God. Ragala Hastana Prabhaduni Amdana. Anyabashwalar Anyabashil. Those of you who speak in tongues, worship the Lord in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lakazanaki Aushismantari Atana. Vaidirajanam Vattal Prabhaduni Gatagam. Librabaram Shudara Hastanam Diravachanam Gadagam Janavodi Prabhadi Gadagastanam. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can see that in the scripture, Daniel chapter 2, 5 and 6. You can read that later. Daniel chapter 2, 5 and 6 says that about Nebuchadnezzar. The third realm of meditation is Psalm 143 verse 5. Psalm 143 verse 5. And I read from the Amplified Bible. "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands." King James. Psalm 143 5.
"I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works."
I meditate on all thy works. The third realm of meditation is meditating on the works of God. And what God has done. And that should be true meditation especially when you meditate on what God has done in His Word. And definitely personal experiences, but in His Word. You know you're going to step into another realm of being a servant of the Lord when you learn to meditate on what God has done in His Word. Imagine you are reading Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus calling on Jesus. You're meditating on that scripture. You have a mental image. You are in that scene. You are seeing blind Bartimaeus calling on Jesus. Jesus stopping, looking at him, bringing that man. What you want? I want to see. You are there. You're seeing it. And the moment you see it, and the moment you begin to learn to see what God is there in His Word, in His works, let me tell you, when you move as a minister of the gospel, signs, wonders, and miracles will happen. You see, Jesus cast out the devil. My spiritual father used to tell me to read Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 5, and Mark chapter 9. That's Jesus casting out the devils out of people. He used to say, read it. I used to keep reading on it. So much so, still the gift of deliverance became strong because I'm seeing Jesus cast out the devil. Casting out the devil. And you meditated on so much. And if you haven't seen the movie Jesus of Nazareth, that was one of my favorite movies. Especially the part where Jesus in the synagogue commands that young man demonically possessed, come out. And the demon begins to manifest and come. I used to have this mental picture. Wow. Jesus. And the Lord said, son, I've given you the same authority. Go do it in my name. Go do it in my name. Some of you are stepping into another level of grace to serve the Lord. There will be so much power if your spirit eye can see the works of God. It will change the atmosphere in the room when you're praying. It's an anointing. You feel it. The Holy Spirit makes that real to you. You feel it. It's not a lie. It's the truth. You feel. You sense. And the moment you're reading, that's how Bible reading becomes exciting. The Holy Spirit gets involved and He shows. There is electricity in that room. There is. You're charged up. Or you meditate on the glory of God till you see actually the heavens open, angels coming. It's not like, okay, I have to read 5 chapters. And then I'm as well, go read your chemistry book instead of that. Read God's word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, you said you will guide me into all the truth. Reveal this word to me. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see what. Oh. I was meditating, you know, the last week on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and I was meditating on those 8 chapters of Matthew, and I was crying reading the scriptures. Each verse I'm reading, and he was flogged, his beard was plucked, they spat on his face. I was crying. It was as if I was there. Peter denying the Lord. I said, Lord, meditate on the works of God. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. See, when Jesus went up to pray, He saw what the Father was doing. And He's there. That's how ministry is. Some of you would know this. Some of you come to me for prayer. I said, I got you in prayer last week. I got you in prayer for the last 2 days I was praying for you. And they wouldn't have seen me for months or years. And the moment I've seen it, then I know God has already made me pray for them. And I know. There's something called the law of translation. Word for word, thing for thing, just translate everything. Picture, image, handwriting, everything. That's what happens when you meditate. Everything in the word. The works of God is translated into your spirit. Before you know that, you're doing it. Peter and John went up the temple and they healed the man, and then you meditate on that so much, you come, and then the healing and all just flows through you. like a zoo Kenya. There are men and women of God being anointed at this time. The presence of God is coming upon you. I can clearly see the glory of God descending upon you. Ruzial Tamaz, Ikeltifacious, Mantuzin, the Brukuzintioste, Intelis Markeria. Read the word of God real time. Psalms 42, 5 and 6. Psalms 42, 5 and 6. The Message Bible is good for that. Two scriptures and then we. I do not know how long I've taken. Are we still good to go? Psalms 42, 5 and 6.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul?
Why are you cast down, O my soul?
And why art thou disquieted in me?
Why are you disquieted within me?
Hope thou in God.
Hope thou in God.
For I shall yet praise him.
For
the help of his countenance.
Yes.
O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan.
From the land of Jordan.
And of the Hamonites from the hill Mizar.
Okay, I better read that. 43. Am I right?
Yes.
43 Psalms. Where is 43? Psalms. Psalms 42 is what I said. Psalms 42, 5 and 6. I do not know which one you read. Fifth verse and the sixth verse. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Those were the places where God gave David the victories. What happened at Jordan? What happened among the Hermonites and on the hill Mizar? He says, I'll meditate on that. I'll remember that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and read this from the Message Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Where is that? Hebrews chapter 12. I ask that to be sent to me, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, Message Bible. Can you read, send that?
Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on.
Read it slowly, please. Can you send that, please? Hebrews 12, verse 3, Message Bible. Yes, read.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Who both began and finished his race we are in.
Yes.
Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of what he was headed.
Because he never lost sight of where he was headed.
The exhilarating finishing and with God.
Mm.
He could put up with anything along the way.
Mm.
Cross, shame, whatever.
Mm.
And now he is there in the place of honor. Right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over the story again. Item by item.
Item by item.
That long litany of hostility he ploughed through. That will shoot adrenaline in your soul.
That will shoot adrenaline into your soul. You go about it thought by thought. You look at it. The whole thing, item by item. And there is a rush of adrenaline. Glory to God. Your soul is no longer cast down. That meditation has charged you up. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. So the realms of meditation is there, but what are the dimensions of meditation? The Hebrew word for meditation is a word called Siyach, S-I-Y-A-C-H. That word means to ponder. To muse. Some of you pray only in tongues. It means to contemplate. Peter, for example, he had a great calling. A great ministry to do. The vision that he saw, he said it is unclean. But if he had not meditated, There would be no ministry. The Gentiles would never have reached or heard the gospel through Peter. Some of you have great ministries, great jobs, great business, great things that God wants to do through you. God has shown you a dream, a vision, but you've not pondered or meditated on it. You've not mused over it, thought repeatedly over it, contemplated on that. So you missed what exactly God wants you to do. There are people with great callings, with great anointings, who have never done anything that God wanted them to do because things were not clear in the spirit for them. They didn't take time to meditate. Paul went to the deserts of Arabia till he had the revelation to come back and say, hey, listen, Christ in you, even to the Gentile, the hope of glory. If you are not mature in your spirit and you don't pick up things what God is telling you, you miss your assignment. The second word is a word called hegaion, H-E-G-A-Y-O-N, and that is the art of learning to create a sound in the spirit. It's meditation. The art of learning to create a sound in the spirit. It's almost like a musical note, either in praise or in spiritual warfare. So you meditate on God's word, and then you're thinking about it, and the Spirit of God puts a note, a sound. That's why sometimes you see men of God coming in saying, suddenly they make a sound. Yay! And somebody's set free, somebody falls under the power. It's a note that came into them through meditation. It's not them just trying to, you know, what do you say for that? Dramatic. It's that they're not trying to be dramatic and show off something and act cool. No. Yay! And then, yay! Carried something. And then you got to learn to release that sound that you heard in the spirit. Even in worship, you meditate and suddenly meditating on God's word, suddenly you're like, wow. You've seen that. Even when somebody else is preaching and somebody strikes a word and something strikes in your spirit, I said, and you see me jam up and make a noise. It's not trying to be emotional, you know. I'm not that kind pastor. I'm just more. No. I'm also like you. It's a very consecrated place, that sound, where that Holy Spirit sound comes to you. In Ephesians 5:19, this Bible says, making melody in your hearts. As a matter of fact, if you're really wanting to hear and learn and understand this, say, help me, Holy Spirit. See, when God gives you a sound, a song, or a prophetic voice, when you're meditating, into that same frequency, you can actually invite someone. For example, you would have seen that in your own home. Sometimes, you know, I come from my prayer room and I come out and I'm like, Nana, Tagaria, Stokoris, Miatere, Oh, Holy Lama Sante. And suddenly, I hear my wife in the other room making scrambled eggs and singing that same song. And we never sang that together. We never said that together. We were not even in the same prayer room. But that's Higayon. It's Higayon. And sometimes you can invite, sometimes, you know, as a matter of fact, there are some of you who are connected because there's a spiritual frequency. Sometimes you hear me say, anybody connect to this? So never sing a wrong revelation. Never sing like, He will help me, He will help me, He will help me. Lord, You will help me. Because the right revelation is, it's Hebrew. Yes, help me. He has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Rakasenta Ramanto. Waistemente liniasta mahaike yasto. Lidimento rehasteni limoste. Lakina hinoste feze veri dioste. Zantine le maikesiro. I got joy, joy, joy in my spirit. Oh, Hallelujah, sente di me. Antura ne de besto, denti li rimante. Oh, Holy Spirit, we worship you. So the revelation comes when he guy you, and suddenly you're meditating God and says, I don't fall sick. I don't fall sick. See? That's Higayon. Then the third dimension of meditation is a word called Haga. H-A-G-A-H. That means almost like a growling. Or mourning. So you would have seen in prayer sessions, and when the Spirit of God begins, there are people who might, Ragali is Gariata. Ah, Haliturali, Mani Kaudu. You wonder, what is that? It's Hagon. Haga. For example, a thought comes into your mind, you're seeing a vision, you're in a coffin, and you're like getting up and saying, yeah. When you meditate on God's word, you immediately have to meditate on the truth of God's word. What is true? That's not true. God's word says, with a long life He will satisfy. Job 5 and verse 26 says, I shall come into the grave in full age. So the moment you have that vision, you don't try to put another vision of you climbing a tree. No, no, that's not what you're trying to meditate on. You take God's word, the truth of God's word, and you pray. Groan in the spirit. You utter it out. You speak it out. The moment you speak it out, you're not trying to place one negative image with another negative, a positive image. It doesn't go. Believe me, it doesn't go. A negative image comes, the enemy throws a fear into you. You break it with the truth of God's word. You speak it out. In Romans 8:37. You know, read on from 35 onwards, neither angels nor death, no principalities, powers. Paul goes on to list a huge number of things. And 37th verse, he says, nay, we are more than conquerors through all of this. But he doesn't start off with saying, we are more than conquerors through all of this. He says, nay. See, that is Hagar. Glory to God. In John chapter 11, Lazarus is dead. Jesus came, he saw the sisters crying, the people crying. Jesus came, and you will find that the Bible says Jesus came and he groaned within himself. And the next verse says, he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. When did he pray about this? That prayer was in that Hagar when he groaned. Then he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Lazarus, come. He has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me. He has helped me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Rakasenta Ramanto. Waistemente liniasta mahaike yasto. Lidimiento de yasteni limoste. Lakina hiroste veise veri dioste. Santine le mai chiesiro. I got joy, joy, joy in my spirit. Oh, Ilula sente di me. Anturane le veste, denti li rimante. Oh, Holy Spirit, we worship you, Lord. So the revelation comes when he got you, and suddenly you're meditating, God says, I don't fall sick. I don't fall sick. See, that's Hikayon. Then the third dimension of meditation is a word called Haga. H-A-G-A-H. That means almost like a growling or mourning. So you would have seen in prayer sessions, and when the Spirit of God begins, there are people who might, you wonder, what is that? That's Hagon. Haga. For example, a thought comes into your mind. You're seeing a vision. You're in a coffin, and you're like getting up and saying, "Yeah." When you meditate on God's word, you immediately have to meditate on the truth of God's word. What is true? That's not true. God's word says, "With a long life, He will satisfy." Job 5 and verse 26 says, I shall come into the grave in full age. So the moment you have that vision, you don't try to put another vision of you climbing a tree. No, that's not what you're trying to meditate on. You take God's word, the truth of God's word, and you pray. Groan in the spirit. You utter it out. You speak it out. The moment you speak it out, you're not trying to place one negative image with another negative, a positive image. It doesn't go. Believe me, it doesn't go. A negative image comes, the enemy throws a fear into you. You break it with the truth of God's word. You speak it out. In Romans 8:37. You know, read on from 35 onwards, neither angels nor death, nor principalities, powers. Paul goes on to list a huge number of things. And 37 verse, he says, nay, we are more than conquerors through all of this. But he doesn't start off with saying, we are more than conquerors through all of this. He says, nay. See, that is Haga. Glory to God. In John chapter 11, Lazarus is dead. Jesus came, he saw the sisters crying, the people crying. Jesus came, and you will find that the Bible says Jesus came and he groaned within himself. And the next verse says, he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. When did he pray about this? That prayer was in that Hagar when he groaned. Then he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Lazarus, come forth. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I step into this grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. I close with this. When do you know that your meditation is complete? Psalm 63, 5 and 6, Amplified Bible. Psalm 63, 5 and 6. Yes. And we close with that. My soul, my life, my very self is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praise to you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate and thoughtfully focus on you in the night watches. Never end your prayer with an atmosphere of just questions. Why, Lord? Why that? Why this happened? Why that? You pray, you meditate, till you come to that point where there is a certain joy, a certain level of peace, certain satisfaction, certain fatness in the spirit, a richness in the spirit. You're satisfied with marrow and fatness. You're singing spontaneously, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pray to that point that you get that. It's not a routine thing where you say, okay, Lord, I'm still white. I don't understand, Lord, still white. I get that admission. Then you're walking around, scratching your head through the day. No. You're prayed through, your mind has come to a place of satisfaction. Your mind has become it. And your profit will be evident. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:15, we read that scripture. We read it one more time in the Amplified Bible and we close with that. 1 Timothy chapter 4:15, Paul to Timothy, his son.
Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties.
Practice. This takes past this constant practice. Practice and work hard on these things. Be absorbed in that. Completely occupied in your ministry so that your progress will be evident to all. Practice. Cultivate it. It's not a place where you visit for 10 minutes. It's a place where you live. Are you with me? It's not like when you're sick, you say, okay, at least let me now meditate. I tried doctors, I tried everything. 10 pastors have also prayed for me. They've put their hands on my head and shaken my head so much, now I have neck pain also. Now let me try meditation. It's not that. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that you do, okay, let me try this for a day. I close my eyes, okay. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Where is riches? Okay, I'm healed by this. Now you're living in the reality of that meditation through the days of your life. Joshua 1:8-9, God said to Joshua, meditate on my Lord day and night, and you will make your way successful and prosperous, and I'll be with you. So may this word have a profound effect in your life. May every blessing that is there in the scriptures be yours. May your prayer life go into another level of God's grace, where you learn and cultivate and practice, glory to God, together with other attributes of prayer, on the gift of meditating on the person of Jesus Christ.